You're the Lord of my life. You're the Lord of my life.
L-I-F-E. These are the four letters we're using in our life exam to see if we're allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. So far, we've examined three areas of our lives. The letter L helped us to examine our lips, the letter I, our ideas, and the letter F, our feelings. Today, we're going to examine the fourth and final area of our lives that I believe Jesus wants to be the Lord of. As I said in the last lesson, this area begins with the letter E. And God's word says that when each person stands before Jesus, this area of their life will determine what they'll receive in eternity. This truth is found in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, where it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done within the body, whether good or bad." So the letter E in our life exam stands for this area of our lives, our efforts. One of the definitions of an effort is an exertion of physical energy. And the way I like for us to think and use this word effort in the lesson today is to encourage and challenge us on how we exert energy or what we do in and with our bodies. As I've said before, just because we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that doesn't mean that we've allowed him to be the Lord of our lives. Jesus challenges people who live like this when he gave the illustration in the Bible that's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. It's here that Jesus says this, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's here that Jesus lets us know that our efforts or what we do has some effect on whether or not we'll enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why I believe it's very important for us that as we think about our efforts, we must first of all try to view our efforts the way God the Father and Jesus views them and not how we usually view them. Most of the time, I think we view our efforts on either end of two extremes. On one extreme, we see our efforts as a way to earn God's favor. When we think and feel this way, we're basically seeing our efforts as a way to bargain with God. We reason and come to a conclusion then that if we can do enough good deeds, then we can get from God what we want. Things like money and possessions, jobs, relationships, and ultimately eternal life with him. But in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, God tells us that our good efforts or righteous acts are like filthy rags and that we can never do enough good to outweigh our sins or earn God's favor. Our sins are far too great for us to ever deserve anything good from God. And if we compare God's goodness to our goodness or good deeds, no matter how good our deeds are, they are like filthy rags when we put them next to God's good deeds. So, in reality, when we view our efforts in this way, we're not only fooling ourselves into thinking that our good deeds are worthy enough that God would owe us what we want from him, but we also dishonor God by thinking that he's someone who can be easily manipulated by using our efforts to get him to do what we want him to do for us. The other extreme that we often go to when we consider our efforts is the one that says we don't need to do any good efforts because we're saved by grace, not by our efforts. Now, this extreme seems like the right spiritual perspective to have about our efforts because God's word does tell us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 this, that it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But if you continue to read the next verse, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, you'll see that this perspective about our efforts isn't the whole truth. Even though we are saved by grace and not by works, in verse 10, God's word tells us that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So although it's true that we are saved by grace and not by works, another part of this truth is that God tells us that one of the reasons why he saved us by grace was so he could make us more like Jesus so we would do good works. Good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. So confessing with our lips that we believe that Jesus is Lord is important. But God also tells us in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26, that our belief or faith must be accompanied by deeds or efforts that show that we believe. Efforts that show that we've truly allowed Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. This is exactly what I believe Jesus was talking about in the verses in Matthew chapter 7 that I mentioned earlier when he said, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord," which means not everyone who says with their lips that Jesus is the supreme ruler who can save them, "will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, only those who show that Jesus is the Lord of the lives by what they do will enter the kingdom of God, because they're the ones who are saying it with their lips and with their lives. They're the ones who are obeying what Jesus said his heavenly Father, the King in the kingdom, told them to do. Now, when we combine all of the verses I've mentioned earlier, I believe God can give us a perspective about our efforts that he wants us to have. Although I'm sure I don't have God's complete understanding on this subject, here's what I believe he's given me so far. We can never earn God's favor by our efforts, because compared to our sins and God's goodness, our good efforts are like filthy rags. So the only way that we can receive God's favor or be saved is by God's grace alone, not by our works or efforts. But our efforts, though they don't save us, they're still important to God when it comes to entering the kingdom of God, because our efforts reveal that we believe that God saved us through his grace in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And to show our appreciation for what he's done for us, our efforts also reveal that we are allowing him to be the Lord of our lives by doing the good works he created us to do to bring glory to his name. So as we examine our efforts, I believe it's crucial that you and I focus on asking ourselves questions like this. Do I view my efforts on one extreme as a way to earn God's favor, or on the other extreme as something that's unimportant in living out my faith in God? Or do I view my efforts as God does, as important deeds that reveal that we appreciate him and want him to be the Lord of our lives? When these are the kind of questions we're asking ourselves, I believe God in his word will give us discernment on whether or not our efforts are reflecting that we're the kind of people that Jesus said would enter the kingdom of God. The kind of people who Jesus says does the will of my Father in heaven. As I've asked myself these questions about my efforts over the years, I often find myself on one extreme or the other. But over the years, I've also been praying constantly that God would give me the balance that he wants me to have about how I view my efforts. Not only this, but I've also been praying that he would give me the strength to not do the evil efforts that I'm tempted to do at least 100 times a day. Efforts that God's messenger, the Apostle Paul, warns us about, just like Jesus did when he said our efforts can keep us from entering the kingdom of God. Evil efforts that he talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, when he says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And in Galatians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul said, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, as we try to not do these sinful efforts, I believe it's important for us to understand that God doesn't want us to just avoid doing evil efforts. He also wants us to replace those sinful efforts with godly efforts. Efforts that God commands and encourages us to do throughout the Bible. Efforts like this: to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. To serve, to share, to be kind and compassionate, to treat others the way we want to be treated, to be patient, to pray for ourselves and others, to forgive others, to open our home to others who are in need, to live in peace with others, to associate with those in lowly positions, to honor others above ourselves, to be devoted to others, to obey God, to submit to the government and the laws of the land as long as they don't go against God's truth and God's desire for our lives, to share our faith with those who don't believe in God and don't believe in Jesus as Lord, to humble ourselves, to die to ourselves, to encourage others, teach others, admonish and warn others, remembering all the while that we're not doing these efforts to earn God's favor, but to express our appreciation for who He is and what He's done for us, and to allow Him to use us to do His will and bring glory to His name. So, as you consider all that we've talked about today, do the efforts that you do each day bring glory to God? Do your efforts encourage others to seek, obey, or to thank God? Do your efforts reveal that you're saved by God's grace and not by your works, and that you're living your life in such a way that God and others can see by your efforts that Jesus is the Lord over everything that you do? It's my prayer that your perspective on efforts and the way that you're living them out are exactly the way God wants you to. But if you're anything like me, this lesson has probably reminded you that God has a lot of work to do to get us to the point where we're viewing our efforts the way He does, and for every effort that we live in our lives to be exactly what God would want us to do. If this is true for you, I hope God will speak to you through the following verses like He spoke to me. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. And whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Throughout this series of five lessons, it's been my prayer that God would encourage and challenge you, like He encouraged and challenged me, to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our lives as we've considered together the life and the words of Jesus and have taken this life exam. I believe with all my heart that Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life, our L-I-F-E. The supreme ruler who has complete authority, power, and control over our lips. So what we say and how we say it is just like Jesus would say it. The Lord of our ideas. So what we think about God, others, and ourselves will be the same way that Jesus thinks about them. The Lord of our feelings. So what we feel about God, others, and ourselves, and the motives in our hearts will be exactly how Jesus feels. And the Lord of our efforts, so our lives or what we do would be exactly what Jesus would do and how He would do it. If we truly surrender to Jesus and allow Him to be the Lord of our lives in these areas, I believe God will make us more like Jesus on the inside so Jesus can live through us on the outside, bringing glory and honor to God the Father and being a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. If allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life is your desire like it is mine, it's my prayer that you and I will continue to pursue a deeper relationship with God, we'll commit ourselves to serving Him and His people, and we'll submit ourselves to His Holy Spirit as He convicts, transforms, empowers, and leads us to be and live like Jesus, revealing to God and everyone around us that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives.
Cause we're serving in His name, and we're sharing in His name. Yeah, yeah. God gave His only Son to die, so we offer Him all our lives, and we're loving in His name, and we're living in His name, and we're living in Jesus' name.